This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد أريناه آياتنا كلها فكذب وأبى قال أجئتنا لتخرجنا من أرضنا بسحرك يا موسى فلنأتينك بسحر مثله فاجعل بيننا وبينك موعدا لا نخلفه نحن ولا أنت مكانا سوى قال موعدكم يوم الزينة وأن يحشر الناس ضحى فتولى فرعون فجمع كيده ثم أتى
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We're continuing on with the Tafsir of Surah Taha and with the scene in which the dialogue between Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam on the one side and Fir'aun is now at its climax or its height. Now they're really getting to the point. What should we do about this? You have a message and your message is basically contesting my entire dominion. This is the idea that Fir'aun is taking home now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we showed this man, we showed Fir'aun at the hands of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. We showed him all of our signs. Okay, what he means by that is all the signs that were given to Musa alayhi salam, so that Fir'aun and his people would then accept Islam, accept the faith, and submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to Musa of commandments, such as letting go of the Israelites, right? So there were 9 signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Musa alayhi salam. 2 of which Allah already discussed in the surah, one of which was the staff or the stick of Musa alayhi salam. When he threw it, it became into a snake. And the other one was when the hand of Musa alayhi salam, as he pulled it out from under his right armpit, it would become white, and then vice versa, it would become back to its normal complexion yet again, right? So those were 2 signs that Allah already discussed. And of course, Musa alayhi salam showed them to Fir'aun as well. But there were 9 signs, altogether 9 signs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I showed him all of these signs. وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا. We showed all of our signs to Fir'aun. فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. And despite that, he ended up denying the message of the messenger. And he ended up وَأَبَى. And he rejected everything, right? He rejected everything that the messenger had brought to him. قال, he said, أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا مِنْ أَرْضِنَا بِسِحْرِكَ يَا مُوسَى. So he said to Musa alayhi salam, that have you come to us so that you may lead us out of our land with your sihr, so that you may drive us out of our dominion? I've got all of this land. وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. These are the anhar, they flow from right below me. This is a person who is a tyrant, believes everything in his dominion is actually his ownership. He doesn't understand that in fact, in the grand scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he himself is even owned by Allah azza wa jal. Right? This is this tyrant that Musa alayhi salam is facing. So he says, do you want to lead us out of our dominion with your sihr? Why the sihr? Because he's afraid that these signs, if people are able to get rid of it, and people are able to see them and view them, they may end up truly believing Musa alayhi salam to be the messenger, and there goes the dominion of this particular tyrant. And this particular thing, by the way, doesn't change till today. Those people who happen to be tyrants, who oppress their people regularly, who act in very unjust ways towards the people who happen to be civilians living within their lands, within the lands that they think are their lands, they're all the lands of Allah Azza wa Jal, they always have this fear that maybe there will be an uproar, an uprise, and there goes their entire mulk, entire kingdom. That's the same thing Fir'aun was afraid of. That, do you really want us to, have you brought this sihr, this magic over here so that you may drive us out of our lands? And there was no sihr, of course. Musa alayhi salam's staff, his stick literally turned into a snake. His hand literally became white. And his hand literally became the original complexion again. And the other signs as well. There was no sihr. He thought it was sihr. Because the people of Musa, the people of Fir'aun, the people who he used to keep under his care, if you would like to call it that, right? Those people were really advanced in terms of magic. Okay, magic was a trade that they knew really, really well, right? Every single nation had something that they used to be very good at. So the messenger would be given something that basically outdid them in whatever they happened to be good at. Musa alayhi salam was given things which appear to be magic, but magic simply makes you look, makes it appear before you that such and such thing has converted into such and such. That particular person, his body has been cut into half, or so on and so forth. Magic simply makes it appear like that. That's an appearance, it's a show. Musa alayhi salam's staff literally turned into a snake. His hand literally became white and so forth. So though Fir'aun thinks it's magic, and he wants to explain it away like that, it is actually beyond magic. It is much greater than that. It is a true miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the miracle that was given to Musa alayhi salam. These are some of the miracles that were given to Musa alayhi salam to show the inability of the sahara, of the magicians of that time, so that other people say, well, now this person is even greater, right? What he must have is actually, in fact, much greater than what the magicians that we thought were very, very great and the soothsayers that we thought were very, very great. He has something greater than all of them, right? Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ was given the Qur'an, which happens to be a linguistic miracle, because the Arabs, the one thing they used to boast about, they were nomadic, they had nothing, but the one thing they used to boast about was the Qur'an. What was their language? Their ability to express themselves and so forth. And their rhetorical culture that they had. They used to boast about their language, and they knew that they had really outdone, rhetorically speaking, a number of different, pretty much the entire world at that specific moment in history. So Allah gave a miraculous Qur'an, which the linguistic miracles of which till today people continue to discover and find. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every single way, shape or form, Allah gave each messenger a miracle which would be suitable for his times. Of course, the Qur'an is suitable for all times. Because language is something that people boast about across cultures and every single time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that nobody can come close to the rhetorical power that is within the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, again quoting Fir'aun, فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. He thinks it's magic, so he says, definitely and of a surety. فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ لَمْ لِلْتَوْكِيدِ. Right? نُونُ التَّوْكِيدِ الثَّقِيلَ. Noon of emphasis, lam of emphasis. We will surely bring to you. And noon at tawqeed al-thaqeela, not just noon at tawqeed, not just noon of emphasis, noon of great emphasis. So there's three emphatic instruments over here that we will definitely and of a surety and most definitely bring to you what we're going to bring to you, sihr, magic that is even greater or at least equivalent to what you have brought. بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. A magic which happens to be equivalent to your magic. فَاجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَا نُخْلِفُ. So make a maw'id, make an appointment between us and between yourself that we're not, neither of us, neither party is going to do ikhlaf of. Neither of the two parties is going to not come to this meeting, okay? So you have a meeting, you have to make it to that meeting. You have a promise, you have to make it to that promise. So he says, none of us are going to overlook this meeting. We're all going to make it to this meeting, all right? لا نخلفه. نحن ولا أنت مكانا سوا. Neither are we going to skip the meeting, nor are you going to skip the meeting. We are going to make it to the meeting, the place that you, the appointed time and the appointed space. Okay, موعد means the appointed time and also the appointed space, the place. So wherever you decide, I'm going to be there, Musa. That's what Fir'aun is basically saying. Makan and suwa. A makan which happens to be suwa. What does suwa mean? Now, normally when you're, let's say both of you are living you have an appointment with someone and both of you have a reason to meet that at that point, right? You're going to decide on a place which has equal distance between yourself and the other party, right? So let's say one person lives in one end of Toronto and the other person lives in the other end of Toronto. You know, you guys are going to decide on a meeting ground or a meeting point which is in the middle, comfortable for both parties. So that's pretty much what Fir'aun is saying. You decide on a point, you decide on a place, and make sure that makan happens to be Suwa. وَجَدْنَا أَبَانَا كَانَ حَلَّ بِبَلْدَةٍ سُوَنْ بَيْنَ قَيْسٍ قَيْسِ عَيْلَانَ وَالْفِزْرِ. We found our father, he had stationed himself in a place which happened to be Suwan بَيْنَ قَيْسٍ قَيْسِ عَيْلَانَ وَالْفِزْرِ, which happened to be equal between the land or between the stations of قَيْسِ عَيْلَان, a tribe, and also between Al-Fizr as well. So it was an equal spot, that's the point. Suwan, it means a point that is between us. So if this is point A and this is point A and this is point B, Suwa would be right over here, okay? So decide on a point in which neither one of us has to go further than the other. So Musa alayhi salam decided. He gave him an even more comfortable decision than what he had asked for. He decided on a day in which he will be out anyways, okay? And that is the day of Zina, the day of festival. They used to have a festival known as Yawm al-Zina, the day of beauty, the day of beautification. Now of course, on festive occasions, people end up gathering together, perhaps in one place, a lot of people in one place, right? So there's going to be a very large crowd. People will already be out, so they won't have to go out of their way. There will already be a day off work, so to say, right? So all of those things will already be there. It will be the perfect time to get together and do this particular challenge and come to terms with this particular challenge, where Fir'aun is saying, I'm going to bring something similar to your sihr, your magic, and Musa alayhi salam is saying, I'm not really doing magic, this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove my prophethood, right? So he says, قَالَ مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَةِ. Your maw'id and our appointment and the time of that appointment, he's going to give the time as well, by the way. Your appointment happens to be the day of zina, the day of beauty. Now some said this happens to be the day of Ashura, and others said it happens to be another day. Anyways, whatever it happened to be, in that culture, the culture of Fir'aun and so on and so forth, that this particular day was a festive occasion. Whether it was the day of Ashura or happened to be another day, that's not necessarily important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told us, it's Yawm al-Zina, it's the day of beauty, which was a festival known to them, right? And what's the time now? Now he's already given a place. He's given the day, the date. And also he's naturally given the place as well, because there was one specific location in which people will gather on the day of Zina, right? Till today, on certain celebrations, people of a certain city know that they'll have to be in Times Square in order for them to take part in the party that's going to occur on such and such date, on perhaps New Year's Eve and so on and so forth. So people know that on this occasion, in this day, this is where people are jamming, this is where the party is happening. Yawm al-Zina, everybody knew, this is where people are partying. This is where it's all going to take effect. And now he gave a time as well. He can give a morning time, he can give an evening time. Remember, they don't necessarily have the same sort of lights that we have today, right? So considering that, Musa alayhi salam picked the perfect time. Not too early, not too late. He didn't pick it too late. Why? Because then there wouldn't be so much time left in the day. He didn't pick it too early because people would be sleeping at that time. So he said, وَأَن يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَىٰ. And I'm going to give you a time for duha, which basically is after the sun rises by 15, 20 odd minutes. That's what duha means. Ad-dahwa, it starts right after sunrise, whereas ad-duha starts 15, 20 minutes after sunrise, which is basically shuruq time in your calendars, in your prayer calendars, right? So he gave him a time which is very easy, which is very comfortable. People have, people have already woken up, people have already perhaps had breakfast, and they've already had ample time to arrive to the location of this contest or this competition or this challenge that Fir'aun has made to Musa alayhi salam. وَأَن يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَىٰ. So that people would literally go through a hashr, which means a resurrection, a gathering, a large amount of gathering. They come at the time of duha. So they all of the other things that they may be occupied with, that's done. So Fir'aun, what does he do? فَتَوَلَّى فِرْعَوْنُ فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَتَى. So Fir'aun, that's it. He's like, okay, خلاص, the challenge is done. It's made. He turned away. تَوَلَّى, he turned back. And he collected his plot. Meaning he asked all of the best Sahara that he knew, all of the best magicians that he knew, asked about the town of who is it that can help him in order for him to win in this challenge, and so on and so forth. And the numbers vary. The numbers vary from 70 odd to 900,000 different magicians. A very, very large amount of people, basically, right, that he gathered in order for him to try to win the challenge. فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ. So he gathered his plot. ثُمَّ أَتَى. Then he came on the day of Zina, on the day of the festive occasion. قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى. Musa alayhi salam spoke to them. Now what's happening? All of these magicians are standing before Musa alayhi salam. Now it's the day of Zina. Now it's the day of that celebration or that festive occasion or that festival, and so on and so forth. People have already had their breakfast. They've already reached this challenge. Now is that the zero hour, right? So now is the time in which people will figure out whether Musa alayhi salam is telling the truth. Already, by the way, the historians have it that the da'wah, the call of Musa alayhi salam, had already circulated within the society. People already knew there was someone called Musa alayhi salam, and there was someone called Harun alayhi salam, and that they're claiming that they are in fact prophets and they are in fact messengers. So this claim already became popular and famous. So this was not something that was a mystery to them, and they were definitely very, very keen on attending this challenge, because this challenge would either lead to the loss of Musa and his da'wah, or the win of Musa and his da'wah, and then obviously the loss of Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salam speaks to all of these magicians, because the magicians, this is their art. Fir'aun may or may not be able to confuse other people within society, but the magicians, they know what they're doing, whether it's right or wrong. They know whether they're just making it appear as if this happens to be a snake, right? Or whether they are actually taking a staff and turning it into a snake. They know that, right? Because there's something called illusion as well. So you can make illusionary form of magic as well. It appears that way, but it really isn't, right? And there's many forms of magic, like they call it sleight of hand and so on and so forth. So it may have appeared to them as if the staff is truly turning into a snake, but that's just appearance. It appears that way. However, magicians know what's sleight of hand and what's real transformation of a staff into a snake. They can see that. So he started giving da'wah to the magicians, who will definitely know what they will see today. قَالَ لَهُمْ. He said to them, Musa alayhi salam said to them, وَيْلَكُمْ. Woe to you, O magicians! لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Don't be lying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Don't be fabricating lies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِعَذَابٍ. Because if you fabricate a lie upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will destroy you with a punishment. Allah will annihilate you with a punishment. Allah will finish you off with chastisement. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. And that person who lies, the person who fabricates, he will always be indefinitely of a surety be at loss as well. So this is the message of Musa alayhi salam, first and foremost, telling the magicians not to be liars, right? Because one of the things magicians are really good at is lying. Many a times they'll harm someone and do something and this and that and the other, and they will lie. Internally they feel what they're doing is wrong, but they will continue to lie. So lying is part and parcel of magical culture. To begin with, if it's sleight of hand and you're telling people this actually happened, that in and of itself is a lie, right? So lying is part and parcel of magical culture. So he knows the right thing to get to and the right da'wah to give and the right point to share, and that is stop lying. And if you lie, then you'll always be at loss, and definitely of a surety be at loss, right? You know the last part of this verse, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. This is a golden principle. You know, in the Quran, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off the statement with a principle, okay? As opposed to talking about the idea particularly that particular object or that incident itself, Allah sometimes gives us a general principle within the Quran. So this is one of those general principles within the Quran. Perhaps this was from the statement of Musa alayhi salam to the magicians, and perhaps this was a completion, a tadhil by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the statement of Musa alayhi salam. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. In either case, the statement says, the person who lies, they are definitely at loss. So no matter how witty you think you are, if you're lying, in one way or another, people are going to find out that you're lying. And when they do, you will be at loss, whether you thought you won or you thought you didn't, right? You'll always be at loss. This is the principle in the Quran, right? People sometimes lie to their bosses at work. People sometimes lie to their teachers. People sometimes lie to their spouses. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals their lies. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveils their plots. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows their realities. And they will be at loss, the people who lie and fabricate in this life, and they will be at loss in the hereafter as well. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. That a truthful word, a true word, it leads a person to goodness and piety. And the piety leads a person to Jannah. And if a person continues to be truthful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider him a siddiq, which means the extremely truthful person. And similarly, the Prophet ﷺ continued and he said, وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. That indeed the kathib, the lie, it leads a person to evil acts. You know, good deeds lead you to more good deeds. Similarly, evil deeds lead you to more evil deeds. It's like a slope. When you start going down one direction, it's hard to come back up to the peak. And that's the justice. That's the peak is that area which is flat, which is basically the plane in which you want to stand, right? And if you, and now I'm talking about the peak on the side of which happens to be evil, okay? So if you go down the direction of evil, then what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to come back up very easily, right? Now, however, on the other side of the plane, on the other side of this peak, if you go down, then that is definitely good because you're going to be led to another good deed and another good deed and another good deed and so on and so forth. And all of these deeds, they will pretty much encircle you. And once they encircle you, they become like a barrier between you and evil. And that's why when you pray salah, what happens? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayer stops a person from evil and from obscene things as well. So it acts as a barrier between you and between you and evil deeds. And similarly, evil deeds act as a barrier between yourself and goodness as well. So if you fall down this direction, then you are in the evil direction. And it's going to be very hard for you to get right back up to the peak so you can start going down the right direction. If you go down this direction, then you will be preserving yourself and protecting yourself from the evils. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I from evil. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Lying is going to lead you to evils. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And evil deeds are going to lead you to hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I from hellfire. And the Prophet continued and he said, once a person lies, second time, third time, and the person continues to lie, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends up writing this person in his scrolls as a kadhab, as a regular liar, right? As a person who happens to be a perpetual liar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah continued, and he said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. So this person who lies, he becomes at loss in this life, and he becomes at loss in the hereafter as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said to us in a hadith, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever lies upon me intentionally, then let him take up a place in hellfire Let him take up an abode in hellfire. Let him secure for himself an abode in hellfire. So a liar upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam secures for himself a seat in hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and preserve all of us within this life as well. One day or another, people will figure out that you're lying, and that's it. That boss who you were lying to all of your life now figured it out. When he figured it out, that's the end of your job. The spouse that you've been lying to throughout your life, perhaps you lose their trust. And once the trust is lost in a relationship, that's the end of the relationship as well. فَقَدْ وَقَدْ خَاب. So this person who lies, that's it. He's lost it. He's lost the plot. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I. So the message to take home here is that never to lie, because this is the golden principle, never to lie. Even if the situation happens to be bad, you don't lie. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, O who you believe, fear Allah, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and say this straight out word. You know, sometimes speaking straight out is very difficult. It's very difficult, why? Because you are afraid that that person happens to be in a position for him to actually affect your life negatively. But you, when you feel that, you have to remember that Allah is in a position to always make any negative situation positive, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's controlling all affairs, even the action of the one who you may be fearing. When you speak the straight out word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah will reform your affairs for you. So just as truthfulness, just as lies end up leading you to destruction, to khayba, to a loss, similarly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran that truthfulness and being straight out leads you to having your affairs reformed. People end up resorting to lies because they think through the lie they'll be able to fix the situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. Through the lies you'll mess the situation up further. Through truthfulness you'll be able to fix the situation. Even if you think through your finite vision of the world that if I tell the truth things will go wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, no, if you tell the truth, things will go right. They will be in your favor. And even if they don't happen to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will, if He places you through a test, He will reward you greatly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix up your situation as well. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah will reform your affairs for you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reform our affairs and forgive our sins. جزاكم الله خيرا for listening. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.